letter about this church already. Pardon me, I'm in the world. I'm not of it, but I'm aware of what's going on. Amen. Fantastic. Again, welcome. Welcome. I join with Pastor Mark in welcoming all of our guests today. I'm still meeting people. I've been here a few weeks, and even last Sunday was meeting people for the very first time. And I hope today that I meet others for the very first time. I'm around after the service and would just count it an honor to meet you or your family today. We're just so happy to have you with us. If this is your first time today, then we say welcome. If this is your second time, or maybe you've been around here and there, or maybe it's your first time in a long time, amen. We are excited to have each of you at the church at Covington. This is a beautiful season to just rededicate your life to the Lord, to recommit your heart to the Lord. This season, when we're celebrating the birth of Jesus and all that he's done in our lives, we often make sure that we remember the reason for the season. And I get it, we're fighting materialism and we're fighting consumerism and we're trying to take Christmas back in America. I get that, but at the end of the day, you realize that you are the reason for the season. Not your selfishness, not our pride, not any of the things we would see as a negative, but you and I are the reason that he came, not willing that any should perish. And he said, you know what, I've got to come and be the sacrifice. I have to shed my blood so that they can be saved. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for your gift in our lives and the way that you have helped us. Amen. Father, bless the next few moments we have together, this time in your word today. I am believing that you are going to speak to hearts today, that you are going to help individuals in this house today. Again, whether we are members or whether we are guests, today we all sit on level ground because we have one thing in common. We need you. Beyond any shadow of doubt, beyond any reasoning, we need you, and we are aware that we need you. Not only do we need you, we need one another. And so today, I love you, but I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I'm thankful. I'm thankful today that you're helping us, you're healing us, that you are doing a work in our hearts and in our lives. I'm thankful for the gift of Christmas. Beyond any piece of jewelry, new shirt, socks, or anything that could be wrapped up and presented to me, I'm thankful for the gift of Christmas, the gift of healing and hope and salvation. And I pray that someone would accept that gift today, Lord, before this service concludes, that we would be helped in this house. And someone said, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. I've been teaching the last couple of weeks about our need for forgiveness and, of course, our need to forgive. We started talking a couple of Sundays ago about snow globes, and you remember that snow globe. It's the beautiful city inside the snow globe. It's the perfectly snow-covered rooftops and trees that are strong enough to support the heavy snow. And it's just the beautiful, picturesque scene inside the snow globe. You shake it up a little bit, and it's just beautiful. It's just always perfection. And we sit dreaming, we sit looking, we sit wondering how can we live a life? How can we have a white Christmas? How can we live this dreamy life where there is no pain and there is no sorrow and there is no sadness and there's no one to hurt us, no one to offend us? And of course, we've had to be realistic that that just isn't possible. We live life. We live life among other people, and other people disappoint us. Other people mistreat us. Other people offend us. And And so it's not trying to find a way that I can wrap myself up in some sort of a protective bubble wrap or something and live my life or build walls that can protect me. No, I just have to learn how to respond like Jesus responded, to learn how to forgive like Jesus forgave. And it's much easier said than done. It's much, much easier preached than it is lived. It is the challenge of our every single day. And I pray the word the last couple of weeks has challenged you. I've received so many positive comments and so many people saying thank you for helping us. I've heard of forgivenesses that have happened and people who have gone to others and said, you know what, let's bury this. We've carried this for too long because it's not just people in the world that need this kind of teaching. It's people in the church too. Because after all, we're just people. So we learn that choices lead and feelings follow. We make the decision to do the right thing. We make the choice to do what we know is right according to God's word. And then the feeling follows. We're asked to obey. So Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, that's where we have been the last couple of weeks. And this is going to complete this teaching series today. I want to read this one more time for you. Isaiah 1 and 18, come now. He says, let's settle this. Let's get this taken care of once and for all. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Whatever dark place you have in your life, whatever challenged place you have in your life, whatever difficult place you have in your life, I want to make that white. I want to make it like the inside of that snow globe. I just want to make it white for you and give you the gift of Christmas. So today, specifically, I want to talk to you about the ghost of Christmas past. The ghost of Christmas past. How many have ever seen a Christmas Carol? Have you ever seen the play sometime in your life? We've kind of made it a family tradition the last few years to go and see A Christmas Carol as a family. And it's always fun, and they try to change it up a little bit, but really we don't want it changed. The story is interesting and fantastic, but it's the story of Jacob Marley. It's the story of a family who has hardship and difficulty, and the father is trying to work hard and trying to provide for his little Timmy son who has some challenges and difficulties in life, and he's working for this very difficult man who wants to make him work on Christmas Eve and just has no joy in his life, has no happiness in his life. And so when he lays down to go to bed that night, he is visited by three ghosts: the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. If you haven't seen A Christmas Carol, I just saved you the price of admission. That is the play. That is the story in a nutshell. And he begins to see himself. He begins to see kind of his attitude toward people and how he has really made it difficult for people and how that he has probably been the source of people's pain and people's sadness and people's heartache. But it causes me to look and reflect, and maybe this time of the year is a good time for you as well, as we dawn a new year and we prepare for 2018 that is just the turn of a page. It's very, very close to us, within our grasp, and we're trying to see what can we resolve, what can we fix, what can we put behind us, what can we lay to rest, who can we forgive, what can we be forgiven of, but also how can I resolve my past? How can I once and for all get past the past? How once and for all can I get over this thing that has been hurting me? Because it's one thing, as we have talked about in the last couple of weeks, to be hurt by others. It's one thing to be offended by others. It's one thing to be done wrong to by others. But it is yet another thing to keep hurting ourselves, to keep holding ourselves back, to keep ourselves from achieving and attaining and becoming and doing all that God has called us to do. So let's talk about the ghost of Christmas past. Another word for ghost is the word wraith. Wraith. It really is where we get the word wreath. And that word literally means to be connected by twisting. Connected by twisting. I was exploring the building and looking in different rooms, and somewhere over here I think there's a Christmas storage closet there where these giant wreaths. I think they stood about as tall as I am, and I'm sure different seasons or different times or some Christmases they're out on display around the building. But wreaths are interesting because they are connected by twisting. You got to twist it all together to begin making and forming that circle, to turn it into that wreath. And oftentimes we cannot get past our past because of the twisted thinking that went in to creating that wreath that we hold on to. The twisted thinking, the way that we lie to ourselves, the way that we convince ourselves, the way that we tell ourselves over and over that things are never going to change. I hope in the next few moments, while I have your attention today, that we can untwist that. We can untwist it so that you can experience a white Christmas. We can untwist that thinking so that you can live free of your past, so that you can finally step into a place of wholeness and a place of freedom and a place of true liberty in your life, because of things that you did or things that you said or things that happened in your life maybe many years ago, maybe a few days ago. But guess what? Jesus does not want you to be captive to your past. He wants to heal you from it. So what can we do with our past? What options ultimately do we have? I mean, I can't travel back in time. If I could undo what I did, if I could unsay what I said, if I could somehow take it back, I certainly would, but I can't. It's back there. So what are my options? How can I deal with the past? Number one, we can bury it. We can bury it. That's one of the options that we have. We can bury it. We can falsely assume that time heals all things. How many have ever heard that? Just give it time. Just give it time. It sounds good, but it's not true. Because time really doesn't heal things. Time may cause us to think of it less. Time may allow many other things to be piled on top, or many other things to help distract us or occupy our minds. But really, time does not heal anything. If we have something that is hurting us, if we have something that is offending us or wounding us, then we have to heal it. We have to do whatever it takes to see that thing healed. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." So the option of burying our past is not a good option, because all I'm doing is prolonging. All I'm doing is burying something. You can bury it and it'll conceal the stink for a little while, but eventually you are going to smell whatever it is that you buried. You're gonna have to deal with it sooner or later. You're going to find it sooner or later. Never fails when one of my kids are telling me that they're out of clothes. They don't have any more socks. They don't have any more, you know, school clothes. Well, where are your clothes? Because I'm doing laundry and there's only two. Where are they? Where are they? Let's go look behind the bed. No, there's nothing there. Let's go look under the bed. No, Dad, there's nothing there. Well, let's go look together. And it's amazing what you find buried in a kid's room. It's amazing. It's amazing that in the moment they think it's such a good idea. Walking 10 steps to the hamper seems like such an impossible task that it's much easier to throw those clothes off and shove them back behind, down in the bed. But what you bury will tell on you. Never fails. So there's no sense burying the past. It's just not a good option. Another option you can do with your past, you can beat yourself up over your past. I would imagine many of us are guilty of this. Beat ourselves up. It's the self-loathing. We look in the mirror and say things like, "What a fool! You're a jerk. Man, what an idiot. Why would you say that? Why would you do that? I've ruined my life. It's all over. I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to get beyond this. This will never be undone." We blame ourselves. We self-loathe. Psalm 38, verses 4 through 8. He's crying out, "My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain all day long. I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart." I've met people. I'm telling you, I could list them first, middle and last name, phone number, address, real people that I know, that I've counseled, that I've pastored, that I've walked a few miles of life's journey with, and they're sick all the time, or they're challenged in different areas of their lives, and go to doctors, and what's wrong with me? I'm certain that I have a disease. No, you're constantly beating yourself up. That's why he said, "Look, I've broken my health. I'm suffering this. My guilt overwhelms me. It's become a burden that is too heavy to bear." Hear me loud and clear today, because the enemy does not want you to hear what I'm teaching this morning. This is when he wants to distract you or make you feel like you got to go to the bathroom so bad you got to get up and miss the remainder of the message, or "I think the mall is opening early today. Let me go and wrap up that those few Christmas items that are remaining." But I dare you to just stay put for just a few more moments, because if you can hear what is being taught today, if you can hear what is being said, if you can feel what it is that Jesus is wanting to do in this room today. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal that place in your life to the point that you no longer have to beat yourself up over what you did or what you said or what happened or that first marriage or that aborted baby. You no longer have to beat yourself up over the mistakes or the decisions that you made. You no longer have to be wrecked by this and your mind tormented by this. Why? Because there is a Savior who is interested in healing your life. He wants to do it so, so, so desperately for you. We beat ourselves up. We just beat ourselves up. Another avenue, another option people take is that they blame others. Blame others. That's one of our options, how to deal with our past. We blame others. And I'll tell you, this is a popular one in 2017. Everyone is blaming someone else. Very few people are taking responsibility for the choices that they've made, the decisions that they have made. And so we blame others. And everyone, just picture the world, 7+ billion people standing in a circle, and everyone is pointing at the guy in front of them. We're just blaming others. Everyone is being blamed for what is wrong in their life. Or it's the devil made me do it. Yes, this is what culture teaches us to do, but it didn't just begin. It's not a recent thing. It's not just a media thing that's being hyped. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Do you remember Adam saying, hey, she made me do it? Oh, it's this learned behavior. It's what we have seen exampled before us. Genesis 3 and 13, then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me. She replied, that's why I ate it. I have to take responsibility for the choices that I made. Those are options that we have in how to deal with our past. They're not good options. They're not right options. They're not healthy options. A better option is that we can believe God. We absolutely, doesn't that sound like a much better idea than burying it or beating ourselves up or blaming anyone? We can believe God. I have to take ownership. It was me. I was there. I can't say someone else did it, but what I know is that now that I know better, I can do better, and I want healing in my life. You see, if the ghosts have twisted your thinking, you probably need a new set of beliefs. You probably need a new way of looking at things. A new dream of a white Christmas and a gift in this season. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. That is exciting to know that no matter what is in my past, no matter what I've done, no matter what choices I've made, that life is gone if I'm in Christ. And a new life has begun. Here's the reality. We're not trying to get rid of the ghosts today. They're gone. They're gone. The problem is that we do not believe that they are gone. You see, if you've given your life to Jesus, that no longer has power over you. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've been baptized in this tank, that no longer has any authority in your life. And the only power the enemy has in your life is the power that you give to him. Because his back has been broken in your life, and his blood has, Jesus' blood has covered your life. And so the enemy cannot penetrate that, cannot get past that, cannot beat you up anymore with that unless we allow him to. So what would happen if today every single one of us in this room would go home saying, you know what, I don't know if a piece of jewelry is coming. I don't know if my child is making something for me at school. I don't know if mama's going to send something in the mail. I don't know if spouse is going to give me what is at the top of my list, but I have already received the greatest gift in this Christmas season that I could receive. I have finally accepted that I am free. I'm free because I don't want to go to church another Sunday still bound. I don't want to go to work another week still bound. I don't want to live my life in chains to the past. twisted thinking that I because of what I did, I just have to live this way. I have to live tormented. No, that is the lie of the enemy. You don't have to live tormented, because all things have become new. And there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, no crime, no sin that God cannot forgive. So I have to get past my past. I don't know if you realize this, but God used people with a past. He used people with a past to help others get past their past. Anyone remember Paul? Talking about people with a past. People who were there when Christians were being stoned to death. Paul is a part of it. Paul is involved. Paul sees and knows what is happening. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, we're talking about someone's past. In my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But Pastor Darrell, you don't know my past. No, I don't. You don't know what I did. No, I don't. But I have example after example after example. In fact, there are testimonies all over this room. People sitting in front of you, behind you, to your right and to your left. Even the guy standing on this stage, every single one of us have a past. The difference is whether or not we've accepted that God has forgiven us and God loves us and God wants us to walk in freedom and in liberty and in newness of life. You absolutely can be set free from your past. I want to be practical with you today, because again, it's easier said than done. It's easier preached than lived. How do we do this? I leave today and I no longer want to be bound by my past, if I no longer want to be haunted by these ghosts, if I want to untwist the thinking, how do I do this? How do I respond to this teaching today and see God's goodness and God's grace in my life? Tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. I'm going to give you 3 steps today. You can write these down. You can type them into your phone or scratch them on the back of your grocery list. But you don't want to miss this, because this is important. How do I get past my past? Number one, I have to stop trying to earn forgiveness. I have to stop trying to earn it. Listen, it's never going to make sense to you. The rational person is never going to be able to reason it out. How I can do wrong, how I can say wrong, how I can live wrong. And in one prayer, God, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to change my life. How it is that the Lord takes all of that and throws it as far as the east is from the west. He casts it away from his remembrance. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Listen, the only one who remembers your past is you. If you've repented over what you did wrong, if you've said sorry, Lord, I can't do this, you got to stop trying to earn forgiveness. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. None of us can take credit. That's why when I stand here, anyone stands here to say, listen, let me tell you what I've overcome. No, it's not me. I can't boast. This is what the Lord has done in my life. I can't earn forgiveness. I can't earn forgiveness. He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Praise Him. Why didn't you do this song today? Spiritual. The Lord isn't making a list today, nor is He checking it twice. That's that unspiritual dude, Santa. It's okay, laugh, relax. He's not making a list today. Oh, she came to church this morning. Let me look at my list. Oh, he came to look, I've got it right here. Look in bold ink right here. I can't believe he came to church today. No. That's what we do. That's what we do. They came to church today? Really? I can't believe they would darken the doors. Bless their heart. You can't earn forgiveness. Here's the reality. If you think you have to earn God's forgiveness, then you'll make other people earn yours. If you keep trying to work at getting good enough and never achieving and never attaining and never reaching that place, that's what I'll do to other people. And guess what? I'll never let them get there. I'll never let them actually be forgiven. We said it last week in Matthew 10 and 8, freely you have received, freely give. If you've been forgiven much, then go ahead and be willing to forgive much as well. Because God has been so good to us. Forgiveness is not something you give to yourself. Forgiveness is something you receive. You accept it. We're going to pray that here in just a few moments for people who just need to accept it today, not earn it, not feel like you have to do this or do that or do the other, but just accept it. So number two, practically, write this down. This is what you can do. This is how you can get past your past. Number one, stop trying to earn forgiveness. Number two, defeat every lie with truth. Defeat every lie with the truth. John 8:44, for you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's who you're trying to negotiate with. That's who you're asking permission from. Can I just have a peaceful day today? Please, Mr. Devil, will you just give me a break today? Will you please let me alone? I just want to eat my dinner in peace. No, defeat every lie with truth. Stop trying to negotiate or bargain with the enemy, trying to just get a moment's relief from your past. This is not about momentary relief. This is about a life, the rest of your life being the best of your life. This is about from this day forward, you walking in freedom. It's back there. It happened. I know it's there, but I'm not held. I'm not condemned. I'm not shamed any longer. I'm not in guilt any longer. Why? Because he has forgiven me. And when the enemy comes saying, you're still that? No, I'm not. You still do? No, I do not. I am free. I've defeated every lie of the enemy with truth. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And enemy, I am free. Is anybody thankful to be free in this house today? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and has freed us from sin. Jesus made us free and holy. That's how it happened. So I can't talk down to my potential. You're not what you did. And I know the ghosts always return. They come with the same lies. They come with the same twisted thinking. And you just have to say no, no, no. I'm defeating every lie with truth. Are you going to have to do this more than once? Probably. Is there a magic pill? Is there the snap of a finger? Can you get the oil and anoint my head and pray over me and it just be automatically fixed today and just automatically resolved? No, you're going to have to walk this out. You're going to have to live this out. You're going to have to develop new habits and new ways of thinking. You're going to have to defeat the enemy in your life. But I promise you, he's going to get the message very quickly. That you can't be twisted up any longer. You can't be shamed or guilted another day. Because there is freedom. So we're gonna stop trying to earn forgiveness and we're gonna defeat every lie with truth. And number three, this is big. We're going to allow God to turn it around for good. Allow God to turn it around for good. Here's the reality. God doesn't create the bad, but he has an amazing ability to turn the bad for good. That's why Romans 8 can tell us all things. My good, my bad, my ugly. All things work together. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the wrong decision was, the bad choice was. Allow God to turn it for good. You remember the story of Joseph, sold into slavery. It's a saga. Sold into slavery and spends the next number of years in prison. Interprets the dream of the high-powered number one in Egypt. He's brought out and made the number two man in all the land. Ultimately, he's standing there in a season of famine. God's given him a plan to store food because he knows a drought is coming. He knows a famine is coming. And so Joseph, under the direction of the Lord, begins storing food away, and the people line up, and everyone has the food they need. And then he looks up, and there's his brothers who sold him into slavery. They don't recognize him in the palace. Genesis 50 and 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. God can turn it around for good. All you've seen of your past is the pain, the disappointment, the struggle that it's produced, the depression that it's caused. But what would happen if your story became the catalyst for someone else's deliverance? What would happen if your past became someone else's power to get free as well? Is the Lord going to make me get on stage and tell my story? I don't want to do... No. But it's amazing. It is amazing when you get free how God will bring people into your pathway And they'll start telling you their story. And it will sound eerily familiar to yours. They're bound, you're free. They don't know what to do, you know exactly what to do. They have no answers, you know the answer. Can I tell you a story? I used to be where you are. I did the same thing, walked the same road. Really? Why aren't you sad like me? Why aren't you overwhelmed like me? Jesus turned it all for good. Father, I'm praying today for people in this room. No doubt people in this Christmas season, this holiday season. We feel all of the extra emotion and deal with the challenges. And today, Lord, I want us all to receive a gift. I want us all to walk in that newness of life. I want every single person under the sound of my voice, every man and woman in this room, every kid, child in our kids' ministry today, all over this campus, I want us to feel freedom. No more twisted thinking. But today I'm free. 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 Why don't you stand with me all over the room today? I want to invite our prayer team to come. Some of you are in the audience today. Why don't you make your way down? I want to give people an opportunity to step from their seat. Do I have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to move from where you are. You can pray right where you are. But listen, listen. Sometimes, at least for me, sometimes it helps me to make a move. just symbolically, I'm taking a step from where I am into my future. Going from where I'm standing now to where I want to be. It's just a few steps, but you can take those few steps today. And our prayer team's here. They would love to pray with you if you want someone to lead you, to help you pray that prayer. You're just not sure the words that you want to say or how to say them. They would gladly help you with that. If you don't need their help today, that's all right. You can find another place to pray and just say, you know what, Lord, here I am. I want to get past this. I want to get over this. I want to get beyond this. Today, I want to be free. He's ready to do that. Come on, would you lift your hands across this room today? We reach for you, Jesus. Be afraid to open up your mouth today, church, to just worship Him in this room. If you're here today and you want to have that prayer in your life. You want to be free. It does not matter what it is from. It doesn't matter what's happened. You can step right from where you are to the front of this house to say, today, I want to walk in newness of life. I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in liberty today. I want to be saved today. I want to be delivered today. I want to be helped today in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing team, lead us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.